Praise God. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Praise the Lord. This is a big day. Really, every time we meet together, you know it's a big day. It really is. It's big because in corporate meetings, corporate worship, the allowance we give to the Holy Spirit to move, to reveal, to open up, to have His way in our lives, to grow, to exercise the gifts of the Holy Spirit, man, every day, every time. It's a big deal. It's a good time. It's a good time to meet. It's a great meeting. Amen?
Amen.
Quick question for everybody. There's been a lot of promotion, a lot of marketing on the infamous coronavirus. Anybody afraid of that? A lot of marketing about it. A lot of fear tactics going on. I mean, should we be afraid?
No.
Coronavirus. Remember the swine flu? Remember the bird flu? Lots of fear. Look out. It's coming. It's happening. Why don't we have to be afraid? Number one, God has not given us a spirit of fear, us, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Number one. Number two, 1 Peter 2:24. By His stripes, we were already healed. That's the grace of God to us. Do we need to be afraid of these things? No. No, we do not. Finally, Romans 8:2, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made us free from the law of sin and death. The rest of the world can have this stuff if they want it. We don't have to have it, okay? You never have to have it. Every sickness, every disease, every infirmity, every injury, every single thing that would come to us to malign or destroy our bodies, we've been delivered from already. Can we just believe God?
Amen.
Period. Now, we've got authority over these things. We've got our confession. We've got power. We've got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Don't settle for the stuff the world says you got to have, okay? You never have to do that. Never. Make your mind up.
Amen.
You don't have to live like everybody else anymore, ever. Okay? Okay. I needed to deal with that first thing this morning. Now, we have been through a series on identity previous to this. This short series, and it'll end next week, is about, and the title of the series is Identity Has Character. Identity has character. Well, what in the world does this mean? The identity that we have has a character or character that comes along with it or accompanies it and flows through that identity. Now, when we enter the kingdom of God by faith in Jesus Christ, that's what happens to us when we get born again. We enter into every ounce of God's provision. Every promise, every part of the covenant, everything that He says we have, we've entered into it by grace through faith. Can we all be agreed? Okay. Part of what we enter into is a new identity. Brand new. We are not who we used to be. Ever. Anymore. And we teach this, and we teach it, and we teach it because we don't always believe it. We say we believe it, we mentally agree with it, we say, okay, that's in the Word, and yes, I'm going to go with that, but we don't really believe it. But the more we begin to believe it, the more we, and we all know this, if you've made any or seen any changes in your life at all, When we begin to grasp a hold of who we really are, things begin to change supernaturally or effortlessly. This is how this happens. This is all in the Word. Our identity is the base or the foundation aspect of where all these promises, all these areas of the kingdom, all these aspects of what God has given us begin. When we're born again, we get a new identity and everything flows from that. Because we've got a different position now. Old things have passed away. Now all things are new. Whoa. Hard to wrap your brain around, right? At first. But that's why we keep teaching. So, identity, a new identity, has character. Not just a new identity, but it has attributes. One of those attributes is our character that comes with our new identity. Romans 8:29, I shared this last week, says, "For whom he foreknew," and that is us, "he also predestined, predetermined, planned for us to be conformed to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ." Image in the Greek means the, I want you to hear this, the ethical and moral likeness of Jesus. Now, when I speak about morality, as far as character goes, this isn't just sexual morality, okay? This is the integrity, the ethics, the part of our character that we hold to. So God has planned for us all along to be conformed into the image, the ethics and the morality of Jesus Christ, being that we are a new creation and new in Jesus, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. That's us. Amen? So, when you understand character, you can see character. You can see it in action. You can see it not in action. You can watch it. And you can gauge it, which is a lot of times what we do. It's subtle. But you don't really know what it is. I want to give you the definition again of what character is. Character is the thinking, ethics, and morality. Again, not just sexual morality, but the morality, what we hold ourselves to, that is distinctive to a person or distinctive to an identity. Where does our character come from? And again, without the psychology and the counseling aspect of this, character really comes from what we believe or who we believe we are. This is where it comes from. Our character comes out of who we believe we are. Period. Now, our identity and our character are the belief of our heart. Character operates within the boundaries of what I believe about me. This is how this all kind of transpires. So today, the title, and thank you, Lord, for this time, this day, for zeroing in on all of our hearts and always having your way, because we want you to. We want you to conform us into the image of Jesus, your Son. And we give you permission to do it in Jesus' name. Have you ever heard this statement? Open mouth, insert what? Open mouth, insert foot. That's not the title. But what it is open mouth, insert character. Open mouth, insert character. Our mouth is an extension of our character. Y'all realize that? This is a big deal. I mean, this meant a lot to me because my mouth had been so all over the board for so many years. It took beginning to understand that I was different. I was different. I grew up in an atmosphere of some really heavily negative stuff all my life. It was grounded in me. The psychology that became a part of my life was negative all the time. So, transitioning from the old person, understanding my new identity in Jesus, was the beginning of the transition of my character and the character of my mouth. Because many times I had opened my mouth and inserted my foot right up to the kneecap. And I know I'm not the only one. But it is something that we learn about a change in our identity and opening our mouths and inserting character from this point on. The mouth is the extension of our character. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, that a good man out of the treasure of his heart brings something good, and an evil man out of the treasure of his heart brings something evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever we have in our heart, however we believe, our thoughts, our feelings, our understanding of our new identity, and the character that flows through it will come out of our mouth. Proverbs 21, verse 23. Proverbs 21, verse 23. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. To guard means to protect or secure or make it secure. I never did, in all the junk that I did in my life, I never got arrested. Thank God. Now, I don't know why I got a pass and others got arrested. I mean, I'm grateful because I really believe God, in the midst of being an atheist and all the issues and all the things that I did evilly, somehow, some way, God protected me from my own stupidity. I never got arrested. I should have been. Quite a number of times. Now, if you've ever been arrested, or if you've watched television or movies, the first thing the police or the FBI or Homeland Security, whoever they are, first thing they do is they read you your Miranda rights. I never had to hear those. Miranda rights, the first statement, very bold and very clear in our Miranda rights is, you have the right to remain silent. And that has always stuck with me. Because when I read this scripture in Proverbs 21, verse 23, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul. Soul is our life. It's really the whole aspect of our life. Keeps our life from troubles. We have the right to remain silent. But what about my First Amendment rights? What about that? I can say anything I want. I've got freedom of speech. You have the right to remain silent. You know, if you want to exercise freedom of speech constitutionally, it's not guaranteed that, depending on the abundance of your heart, what your mouth speaks, that you're not going to keep your soul out of trouble. Right? It's just plain, flat, not wisdom. It's not common sense, although common sense isn't common anymore. It is here. Let me qualify that. Whoever guards his mouth keeps his soul from troubles. This is a part of our character in our new identity. We begin to guard our mouths rather than suffering the consequences of whatever we say, whatever we feel, whatever we want. Instead, we guard our mouth and we keep our soul, our life, from troubles. We learn this because we have the right to remain silent, right? We don't have to say everything that's on our minds or hearts or thinking. There's four character identifiers of the old person I want to cover today. There, these identifiers, they are, and I call them, a lot of times, I call them flag waving so that we can see them And we can't see them a lot of times until we really understand what they are or see what they are. But there's four identifiers I want to cover in the old character so that we understand that these are things that really open us up to troubles. Okay? Four identifiers. The first identifier, out of our old identity, you've got to understand that the old tries to creep in. Not part of the new, but the old is gossip. It's an identifier of our old identity. And gossip, and I paraphrase these definitions because they get quite legal, okay? So I paraphrase them and simplified them, but it is sharing juicy bits of malicious information that is usually not true. Sharing juicy bits of malicious information that is usually not true. Proverbs 11:13 says, a talebearer, a gossiper, reveals secrets. But he who is of a faithful spirit, this is a difference, a contrast in character now, conceals a matter. Okay. Can I say that maybe I thought this. There's one exception. Politicians. I'm kidding. Really, we think that though. Politicians are fair game. You can talk about politicians, right? If politicians are fair game, then family is fair game. It's family. What about coworkers? They're fair game. What about bosses? Hey, we all go through this, all right? But what we're doing is we're identifying part of the old character because we don't have to live in this anymore. We have a new identity with a new character that is formed. God's transitioning us into the image, the ethics, and the morality of Jesus. Jesus never gossiped, ever. See, if one person or one group is fair game, really everybody is. That's the reality. And we don't have to do that. All right? So gossip is a part of the old identity and the old character. The next one is slander. Slander is gossip that damages somebody's reputation. Gossip that damages somebody's reputation. Proverbs 16, verse 28 puts it like this. A perverse man or woman sows strife. And a whisperer or a slanderer, I've got New King James for those of you that wonder. A whisperer, a slanderer separates the best of friends. If you've ever been slandered, you know what it feels like. When somebody has spoken about you, misrepresented you, spoken in a malicious or an evil way about you, and hurt your reputation. It's happened to many, 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 many people. And many, 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 many people feel that it is okay to do this. This is a part of our culture shift. Let me use social media, for instance. It's okay on social media to call it like you feel like it might be in a way that people around us, it's our right to be able to do this. It's our right. I don't like a lot of the things going on in this world. Is it my right to slander somebody's reputation that I don't even know, let alone if somebody I know? Is it right to gossip about them and impugn or degrade their reputation? Is it right? Is it godly? Is it the ethics and the morality of Jesus and the new identity we have? No, it isn't. But a lot of times, this is the trap that we human beings fall into and get accustomed to, we get okay with, and it isn't really the reality of our new identity. These are the things that point out where we really are, okay? And these are the things that we can get past. The next one, is lies. Rosie and I have a friend we've known for many, many, many years. And he was a bank vice president in a large banking corporate complex. And he left that to become an independent financial planner. And one of the things that he told me one day was we were talking about how things were going in his business and in his life. And he said, you know what? And he said it point blank, everybody lies. Now this person is a believer, born again, loves Jesus, and said point blank, everybody lies. Now I was a little offended at that. He has become so cynical about people that is his expectation and how he operates with people at this point, because he expects everybody to lie. Lying is prevalent with the old nature. It just is. Lies are prevalent. I promise you this, okay? And I will tell you this as a pastor, but I'll tell you this as a human being. If you ever ask me something, I promise you, eyeball to eyeball, I will never lie to you. Okay? Never. I will never lie. Now, it's unfortunate that he got so cynical, and he's still there. I don't believe that everybody lies. But lying is a prevalent part of our culture. Lying for different reasons, different justifications, trying not to hurt somebody's feelings or trying to, in a way, encourage them is not the truth. Here's how it is, and this is part of the old identity with the old character. Now, lies are anti-truth. A lie is actually, by definition, a false statement, an intentional false statement. It's not something that's a misstep. It's intentional. A lie is anti-truth. Now, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, right? Nobody comes to the Father except through him, John 14:6. So if Jesus is the truth and somebody's lying, then that is anti-truth. If it is anti-truth, then it is anti-Christ. If it is anti-Christ, it means it is against our Lord. So, lying is never permissible, at least in our new character, as we transition into the fullness of our new identity and our new character that flows through it, that has the likeness and morality, the ethics of Jesus. These are the things that we know. So thank God we're not tempted to lie, right? We don't have to be there. And that includes lying to ourselves. This isn't just to others. This is to ourselves. We have a tendency to lie to ourselves. Now this is where our aspect comes in, or our part comes in. We have a tendency to lie to ourselves and deceive ourselves. Consequently, we get ourselves into trouble. Do you know the truth is based in love? It's not always easy, but it's based in love. And all through the Word, the Lord encourages us, don't lie to yourself. It hurts us. Amen? Okay. The last one. Now, I'm going to tell you again that I'm transitioning in my new identity just like everybody else. My new identity and my new character that comes from it. So I don't teach anything ever that I haven't walked through. I promise you that. I'm never going to teach a theory. It's my life too, all right? The last flag or the last identifier of the old character that comes from the old nature is complaining. Now, I was an expert complainer. I really, really was. And just to give you an idea, we bought a house 9 or 10 years ago, and it's a decent house. But I knew going in that it had some things to be fixed. From the time we bought the house until yesterday, I have been working on that house and fixing that house. And here's the issue. I, in my new identity, you know, one of the things in my prayers is, Lord, teach me how to live through Jesus in everything I do. Teach me how. Teach me how to let my character be transitioned. So yesterday, I'm working on the house, and I'm still fixing it. Now, the person that we bought it from, this is how they fixed everything. Let it go. Covered it over. Or put 10 or 20 nails in it. That's it. So every time I happen on something that is one of those fixes, I think to myself, how could you do this? I'm just being real. How could you do this? How could you put this together like this? Why did you do it like this? And I don't let a lot out of my mouth because Rosie's right there. She's checking on me. But I'm thinking it. And the Lord said to me, you're complaining. And my first thought was, no, I'm not. I'm just stating the facts, Lord. He said, no, you're complaining. Complaining, by definition, is expressing annoyance about people or circumstances. Expressing, and that's what I did. I expressed my annoyance with the person who fixed the areas in our home that I'm still working on 9 years later. Now, expressing my annoyance, and this is what the Lord showed me, how do you know that he didn't do the best he could with what he knew? How do you know whether they had the money or didn't have the money to do this? How do you know that there weren't some maybe emotional problems when they did this? How do you know where... How do you know this isn't where they were in what they did? How do you know that? He said, and aren't you grateful that you have the wherewithal to do this and make it right? And I said, Lord, thanks for readjusting my character. I'm really grateful. Okay? So I got a new light on complaining. Philippians 2, verse 14 says, do all things without complaining and disputing or arguing. Do all things without complaining, being annoyed about people or circumstances and disputing. We don't ever look at the other side a lot of times. Where do these things come from? When we gossip or want to gossip, or when we have this temptation to lie, or, you know, this stuff is real, or slander. I mean, who doesn't want to slander some of these people in the news? Is it a temptation? Here's the question. Do we really know them? No, we don't. We can't do that. That's not a part of the identity of Jesus Christ that we have. Okay? He wouldn't do that. Why do I have to do that? No, I don't. I have a right to remain silent. So if lies or gossip or complaining or slander has been a part of our lives, we need to know where it comes from. This is where it comes from so that we understand. It comes from the judgments that we make. Matthew 7, verses 1 and 2. Judgments are decisions that we make in our minds and our hearts that say, I have decided and I have dictated that this is the way it is, and I'm going to let it out of my mouth. I have decided, whether we know anything about it or not, and usually, for the most part, we don't. But I have decided this, and I've made a judgment. So I become, in essence, a performance measurer of people when I make a judgment. That gives me license to gossip or slander or lie or complain. I'm pointing right at me, okay? It's not a part of our new identity. It's gone. Old things are passed away. All things are new, right? Now, if we do these things, don't worry, you're not going to lose your salvation. You're not going to miss heaven. But what happens is we don't keep our souls or our lives from trouble. Because when we judge, judgment comes back and it hurts us. It really, really hurts our lives. And we bind ourselves into things that actually take us into destruction. So in order to keep our soul from troubles, we're going to guard our mouths, right? Because that's a part of our new identity with the new character, right? This is how we stay living above, not beneath. Head, not the tail. Amen?
Amen.
Ephesians 4:29, I'd love to read the whole thing. Let me read this whole thing. This is so encouraging. Ephesians 4:29, I'll start here. Paul's real, you know, he's saying this I take this as a loving father full of the Holy Spirit, spiritual father, full of the Holy Spirit speaking to me. This is how I take it. And so I want to repeat it that way for you. Verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification or building up, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and loud speaking and evil speaking be put away from you. Put away means to be destroyed with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, chapter 5, verse 1, be imitators of God as dear children and walk and live in love. Now that is our new identity contrasted with the old, new character contrasted with the old, and we can live that way. How can we live that way? We have the grace to change. Grace is the ability, the strength, the power of God, the supernatural aspect of God, His capability to do what we cannot do on our own. That's what grace is. Grace has been given to us to live like Jesus, to do like Jesus, in every single aspect of this life. Also, in our character. Now, we are new in Him. Can I get some agreement?
Amen.
Our lives are hidden in Him.
Amen.
Amen? And we can do all things through Him. Who strengthens us, right? Would you say this with me? Because this is the confession that we hold fast to. Say this with me. I am new in Jesus. My life is hidden in Him.
I can do all things through Him who strengthens me.
I'm brand new. My life is hidden in Him. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me.
I can do all things through
I live above and not beneath for the rest of my life. My identity has changed. My character is in transition. I look more and more like Jesus. I'm doing more and more like Jesus through all my life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, in realizing this, you have to remember, we can pull from our old identity at any time with the old character. Or we can choose to pull from our new identity with our new character at any time. This is always going to be our choice. All right? So how do you open our mouths, or how to open mouth and insert character? How do you do this? Proverbs 15, verse 28. Proverbs 15, verse 28. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer. I want to say it again. The heart of the righteous, that is what we desire to do. It is our minds, our hearts, our desire, how we purpose, our intents, our intentions, what we purpose to do, to study. And if I could say it like this, to research how to answer. It doesn't mean every time that we speak we're going to go run away and do a thorough study on everything that I can find. I'm going to get in my office, and I'm going to take everything apart. I'm going to get my Bible, and I'm going to get that concordance out, and I'm going to go Google. But we study how to answer, and it gets engrafted or imprinted into our hearts and our knowledge base, and we agree. We can agree on this. The heart of the righteous, that is somebody with a new identity, studies how to answer. And here's the contrast. But the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. There is a total contrast in this scripture. So we as the righteous study, we think about how we're going to answer. We don't just answer. And we answer from our new identity, who we really are, and the character or the image of Jesus that we're being conformed into, that ethical and moral likeness of our Savior, our God, our King, our Lord. Studying how to answer. Here's the questions that I ask myself, okay? Before I answer. Now, I do want to say this. No. Lord said, back off. It takes too long. Okay. If we're going to study how we answer, we're going to think it through. And we're going to think it through like this. Number one, is it love? This will cover every facet of what we speak. Is it love? If it's in love, it's going to be every aspect of our new identity and character, right? Because that's really where we live. Is it love? Number two, does it glorify my Lord? In reality, does it glorify my Lord? Is it new me or is it old me? And I'm looking at the contrast within myself. Is it new me or is it old me? I'm going to choose the new. Number four, does it build up or does it tear down? Does it build up or does it tear down? Number five, is it gracious? Is it gracious? Is it grace-filled and imparting grace to the hearer? I have complained about myself, to myself at times. I've even slandered myself. Can you do that? Yeah, you can. Am I imparting grace to the hearer? It's me too. No. This is to us too, for us. Last one. Am I considering others first? Am I considering others first? Am I considering others before me? Or am I being self-centered? Now, those are the things that I face. And when I'm thinking about my new identity and living out of my new identity and the character that comes with it, that flows through it, I don't want to bring the old character through. I really don't. I want to look like Jesus, but I want to live like Jesus and do like Jesus. We wonder sometimes, and this is a part of what happens to us when we make these judgments about people and we allow the old character to come through our mouth. And we hurt us. At times, this is again a part of reaping from a judgment. We hinder the good things. God's got them right there for us. But we hinder the good things that He has for us to live in by opening our mouth and not inserting the character of Jesus. When we open our mouth and we insert His character, man, things change. They really do. Yeah. Lastly, this is the bottom line of the how-tos. We have to let the Word work in us. We have to, because it's instructional. It's corrective. It builds up. It reveals, but we have to let the Word work in us. Number two, it's needful for us in learning and transitioning in our new identity and the character that comes through it to meditate on the Word. If you want to understand contrast in character, read Proverbs. Just read Proverbs. Proverbs will teach you the difference and the contrast between righteous character, godly character, the Jesus kind of character, and the character of the old person that is really we're destroyed or we're destroying. Lastly, respond to the Word. Do what the Word says to do. Do what the Lord says to do. Amen? Would you stand with me? I have to tell you that I've been dreading doing this message. I don't like doing these kind of messages, personally. I appreciate when I get them from the Lord. For me. But as thanks, Doris. But as we grow, I mean really, as we grow and mature in the Lord, we've got to be aware of these things. We're not going to stay babies. God's not going to keep us as babies. His whole plan is to grow us into the men and the women of His who are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Period. And to keep our soul from troubles by guarding our mouths. Amen? So when we think about it, we're going to open mouth and insert character, the character of Jesus from now on. Amen? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we love You. Thank You for sending Jesus for us to be a model and a template for how we can live in every single area of our lives. Lord, from our hearts, we desire to grow fully into the new identity that we've been given. And the image of Jesus that comes with it. And we declare today we are new in Him. Our lives are hidden in Him. The old is no more. And we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. Lord, I pray that our lives glorify you in everything we do. From this moment on. And I want to thank you for leading us through to the very best. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Now, if you need prayer today, the prayer team's up here. If I sense that there's been a need for some breakthroughs. If you haven't seen it yet, or you're struggling with it, it's here. It's today for you and for your life. Now, there's no limit. God is not limiting this. You need it? Get up here right now. Because this is it. This is your time. Right now. Today. Okay? In Jesus' name. We'll see you back here in a half hour.